This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wrestling Right Up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
Welcome to one of our special episodes. I am off traveling for 3 weeks, and that means that we're going to pre-record 3 special episodes for you. This first one, we're looking back at the last 6 months, the first half of 2026. Next one, we will look ahead at the second half of 2026, and then one third one, we will look forward even more. What do we think the WrestleMania matches, the Rumble winners, all the crazy stuff of 2027 might look like? But as I said, for this first one, 2026, the first 6 months, we've had a lot of debuts. We've had a WrestleMania. We've had our Grande Americano matches. A lot to talk about, a lot of highlights. Is there anything that sticks out to you, I guess, as a first port of call for us to set our sights on?
I'd say probably one of the best feuds of the year so far was Punk versus Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just so personal because of all the history behind it. It was something that we needed to have happen. And the fact that we got it at the biggest event of the year on night 2 of the main event, so it's the true main event, that you can finally cross that off the list if you don't count last year's night 1 main event for CM Punk. And you get one of the best matches that either one have done in their careers.
Yeah, I think Roman Reigns is always great at telling stories. He kind of has two different types of matches. He can either have his cookie cutter match, or he can have, you know, the best match in the world. And it really felt like CM Punk, when he came back to WWE, he came back to it with goals in mind that he always wanted to achieve. And one of those was the main event of WrestleMania. And we can sit here and argue until the cows come home about getting some younger talent in, getting other matchups, different people rotating through those main event slots, night 1 and night 2. But CM Punk versus Roman Reigns showed why it deserved to be on last, why it deserved to be the main event of WrestleMania 42. And I'm sure he will be back, and I'm sure he'll keep doing stuff. But if CM Punk rode off into the sunset after that match, I feel like it was a great bow on the end of it, and he could call it after that personally.
Yeah, I think there'll still be a few things that he can do, but I think his full-timeness, I think, ended with that match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing wrong to say. It's just unfortunate to be that. His age is getting up there. He is in the same age bracket as a John Cena, and I think this was a wonderful way for him to walk out with the world title and have one of his best matches he's had in years, and be the lasting memory that most people will have.
Yeah, perfectly happy with it. Perfect capstone. I think it is, if you don't count AAA, WWE's highest rated match of the year so far. Deserves it thoroughly. Cannot be mad with it. And there was his matches leading up to that as well, right? Like, it wasn't just the big one with Roman Reigns. He defended that title so many times, whether it was Finn Balor and you believed it or not. It was still matches where he's defending him, he's doing stuff with the Vision, and he is building up as he goes. It was good to see, and happy that everybody sort of achieved what they needed to achieve. We'll have to see what happens with this next chapter and the Bloodline story with Roman Reigns picking up the title. We've seen him scoop up Jacob Fatu, regain the Usos. maybe I'm a little less keen on seeing where that goes for Roman Reigns. I think I've seen it before. But they, every time I say that, they find a way to show me something I haven't seen. So I'm holding judgment, but I'm a little concerned that we're just, you know, retreading old ground with the bloodline.
I think that there's going to be a strong part of it that has to do with Jacob Fatu.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that at some point he blows that whole thing up. It's just a matter of when and how.
Yeah. And talking about Fatu, right, that first 6 months of the year, having his WrestleMania match looking amazing in that, challenging Roman at Backlash, having the Tribal Combat at Clash in Italy, Fatu's stock is skyrocketed through the roof as well.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely know they have something with him. And that's it's just a matter of when they want to do it. He's another one that we could see maybe winning a briefcase or the Royal Rumble next year, and it not being out of the place at all.
Yeah, I think he's had, like, if you were to, maybe we should have done this, if we were to look at everybody on the main roster and look at their first 6 months and sort of rank the amount of impact they've had or the amount that they've jumped up the card, he's going to be there. He may not have captured any world titles, so, you know, he's not Punk, he's not Reigns, he's not Cody, etc. But he had as good of a year or as good of a 6 months as you can kind of have without winning that championship. He was constantly in top storylines, be it with Drew McIntyre, be it with Roman Reigns, winning it in the case of Drew, putting up a good fight in the case of Reigns, and still featured weekly. And so he's probably one of the biggest stock risers in the last 6 months, really. And then it feels early because it was only a couple of weeks ago, at time of recording. But I don't want to finish this episode without having talked about it. So I do have to bring up El Grande versus El Grande, right? If we said Punk and Reigns was the top WWE match, this beats it out. It's the one of the top rated matches of the year, full stop. No company, doesn't matter. Fans, Wrestling Observer, whatever you want, ranking system you want to use, this was a banger of a match.
Yeah, it's everything that you wanted a pro wrestling match to be, and then some. It told a story. It wowed you with the action in the ring. There's not much more we can say that we haven't said in the previous episodes. This was incredible. It's the match of the year by far, and it's going to be incredibly hard for any match in the next 6 months to knock it off that pedestal.
For sure. It is the front runner at this point in time. And the fact that we're talking about that match beating out the main event of WrestleMania is crazy. I saw when it happened, people highlighting it similarly to Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, where you do have all the callbacks to the story, where the story has been brewing for a couple of years, where the crowd are really behind it. Mexico was 100% the right place for this, I think. I'll call myself out if I ever said on the show that I was mad they didn't make it to WrestleMania. Doing it in Mexico was the correct answer. And all the stars aligned.
Yeah, for two reasons. One, the atmosphere. Again, if you have not done it, like WWE uploaded the entrance of El Grande Americano to their YouTube channel by itself, go watch it because it was something incredible. And second, if it was at WrestleMania, it would have been 10 minutes. It would not have been an hour.
If that.
Yeah, it would not have been an hour-long segment of a show. It would have been 10 to 15 minutes tops.
Yeah, it was the right call. I don't remember what I publicly supported around April, but it was the right call. The entire pay-per-view was basically built around this match. And honestly, the only thing that alleviates this match, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the next special episode, is what happens next, right? If coming out of this El Grande Americano picks up the AAA Mega Championship of coming out of this. Chad Gable respects Lucha Libre and he goes and wins the Intercontinental Championship. Then that just elevates the match even further, like in retrospect for me, where it was going to be this major cornerstone to two guys' careers who, if you spin back 5 years, there was supporters of Chad Gable and Ludwig Kaiser, but not to the level that they have now. And then we're talking people, I guess, right? Whose stock incredibly rose. Obafemi showed up. If you're talking the first 6 months, it's going to be impossible to not talk about, the man who rocked up, made a statement, quote unquote, retired Brock Lesnar, at WrestleMania. It's still going. It's still, knocking on, but could there be, outside of Brock Lesnar's debut 6 months, a better 6 months start for somebody than Obafemi had this year?
The only one I could think of is the guy he beat at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because that 6 months was straight to the world championship within 6 months of his debut. it was incredible. Oba won people over instantly with the immense charisma that he has. You had people night two doing the Oba strut, mm-hmm. just from his after his debut. You had kids doing it. That's when you know you're over, when you have the kids doing it. And he is so well spoken too on the mic. He's also portrayed himself as very smart. He has intensity, but he can have the wherewithal to keep eyes in the back of his head to keep from being attacked again while talking to Paul Heyman. This guy has it all. And while I would be all for him, King Oba, the biggest problem I have with it, and the reason why I've kind of, over the last couple of weeks, kind of pushed back on it, is that I worry that if you put him in that match with Roman at SummerSlam, and you don't put him over as the champion, that it would devastate everything that he's done. And I don't particularly see him winning the title at SummerSlam. I would rather him be built to win the Rumble and win the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think with... we mentioned, obviously, Brock Lesnar's sort of first 6 months, and it is very similar, but... I think you're right. When Obafemi's coming out and we're having, you know, Femi strut contests at WrestleMania Access or whatever the convention around WrestleMania is called nowadays, it's crazy. There's someone else we'll talk about a little bit later on terms of the merch side of things that took off like crazy in this first 6 months, but Femi has everybody behind him. He shows up, everybody's hooing along, everybody's chanting along. It's crazy when I was getting the music to play for this week's show and I listened to Obafemi's theme and it felt out of place to not have the fans chanting along. I almost didn't recognize it as Obafemi's theme because there's not people chanting Oba and people hooing along to the beat. Yep. It's crazy.
It's very similar to listening to either El Grande Americano's theme or, back in the day, El Generico without the Olay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or Kurt Angle without the USUC. There's a few entrances that just take off, and sometimes you can argue, like, oh, the entrance is over more than the man. But, as you say, Femi gets on the mic, cuts a promo, and he's got everybody on the edge of their seats listening along, believing every word that is coming out of his mouth. And he's... the type of character that he's shown us in these first 6 months, that he can talk and he can go and back it up. You know, it's not a character who maybe like an LA Knight who gets on the mic and chats all this poop and then the booking wise doesn't pick up the wins, doesn't pick up the wins where they matter. And then you're sort of like, I don't know if I believe you when you're like, I'm going to be ruthless and I'm going to win this one. When Obafemi tells me something, I believe the man. I ain't going to question him. And that is roughly halfway through, and it is Obafemi's theme that we're going to play, so it does seem thematic to put it here. And pre-warning, as I said, it does sound kind of weird without listening to it with the crowd chants, but bear with me. because it is playing for you right about now. Enjoy the wrestling roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh, and we are looking at the first half of 2026 with a special episode as Grady is off in Europe right now. Danhausen, right? If I'm talking Oberfemi in terms of in the ring, character demolishing, absolute domination, but connecting with the fans, then we got to look over at Danhausen, top merch seller, connecting with everybody, doing the comedic side of wrestling.
Somebody who has said multiple times he doesn't watch AEW, I don't really watch the independent. I have loved every second since that box opened and revealed Danhausen. The things that he has done, the way that he portrays his character and stuff, it has been picture perfect, and I have enjoyed it. I have looked forward to anything that he does. Any segment he has to deal with in The Miz has been pure bliss, and I am excited for what they do with him going forward, even though I know he will never be a world champion, but he doesn't need to be.
Yeah, I'm not here to question his longevity. That's for the next episode when we look ahead at the next half of 2026. I'm looking at Danhausen. I'm looking at what he's done in those first 6 months. And he had a goddamn blimp flying around with his face on it. And the fans were going crazy. And you mentioned loving every single second of it since the box opened. I was on the other side of the coin, right? I came out here. I'm pretty sure I lambasted when that crate opened. I wasn't a fan. I was with the crowd. There were boos, right? There was a pretty mixed to negative reaction. People weren't into it. The next night, bam, he turns it around. He makes chicken salad out of chicken poop. And he goes from such a mixed, unsure reaction to the crowd eating out of his hands, top merch seller, everybody wanting to see what he does next. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was ultimately the mixed reaction. That was ultimately due to people getting their expectations up for something that was never going to happen. Because the person they thought was going to be in the box would not sit in a box for 2 weeks.
No human should have sat in a box for 2 weeks, but I'm not sure Danhausen is canonically a human, to be fair.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why I got onto it when the box opened. Was because I realized just how absurd it was. And part of what I've always enjoyed the most from wrestling is the absurdity. I love the action, don't get me wrong, but it is my favorite moments has always been things that doesn't make sense in anything else other than wrestling.
Yeah, it seems disingenuous almost to say that there's two sides of the coin, right? Because it's way more like a D20. There's like 20 sides of this coin. And 20 different flavors of things that can happen in wrestling. And everybody's going to have a different combination that they like and different things that they like to see. And I, for what was it, about a week, didn't think this was my jam I was like, cool, people are going to like this, but I'll just deal with his segments to, I want to see what Danhausen does next. The ability to flip people like that, I think, is rare. Had it been another performer, another character coming out to that mixed reaction, you could have been dead on arrival. It could have been over. We've seen a few debuts like that where they just don't connect and they just fade away into obscurity. And so I want to credit, I guess, both him and the booking team for committing to getting him over. Had they just not shown him the next week, he probably would have faded off. And now he's a mainstay, right? As you say, what is he going to do next on SmackDown? How's he going to torture the Miz next? Are they eventually going to get into a tag team? It's all things that you're asking and wanting the answers to. I've done a lot of the talking. Is there anyone, any feud, any championship reign, any big win, any match, anything like that, that I guess you want to highlight from these first 6 months of 2026? It's a very broad question.
Yeah.
I can vamp.
I'll go with the string of matches that Gunther had during his retirement tour.
Mm-hmm.
Retiring other people. The series of matches that he's had this year has been really, really good. We know Gunther is amazing in the ring,
mm-hmm.
but he's had some pretty good character work too. The match he had with AJ was insane at the Royal Rumble. And we'll wrap it back to the end of 2025, and the match he had with Cena was great, was amazing. Mm-hmm. I do think that maybe we lucked out with the injury to Rey Mysterio, that we don't see that our last image of Rey in the ring.
Yeah.
But the match he had with Seth was insane. And the matches he's had with Cody has been really, really good too. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is with as far as his placement on the card. He's always seems to be around the title, but he always gives his great showing too.
Yeah, I think that's the important part, right? Like, I'm going to cheat as you did. I'm going to rewind to that John Cena tournament. We kind of knew Gunther was going to win that and go into that match, but he came out week after week in that tournament. He fought Javon Evans, Carmelo Hayes, Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, most of those matches over 17 minutes. The other one was only 15 minutes. Putting on long matches. These weren't Gunther coming out, squashing a guy in 10 seconds and heading over to his John Cena match we all knew he was getting. He was putting people over, looking strong against him the entire way through. Goes to John Cena. There's that really big storytelling piece. He wins his match, he gets out, he lets Cena have his moment, uses it as fuel, beats up R-Truth, beats up AJ Styles, and it all works. It then retires AJ, again, another banger retirement match. And then, yeah, you mentioned the Seth Rollins stuff at WrestleMania. We were like, how is this all going to play into it? I agree. I didn't want to see Gunther versus Rey. I still think Rey versus Dom is the correct answer for that. We've backed off the career killer piece a little bit. We still mention it. It's still his gimmick. It's still his subtitle, but he's not always in career killing matches, which I think is important. Now he gets into the title scene with Cody Rhodes, and it's entirely possible, you know, in the next couple of months that he's got a championship back again for a guy who's had a championship for 80 to 90% of his time with the WWE.
Yeah, so I think ultimately that is something that does kind of mar him. The retirement thing does keep him away from a title for a while, so it does extend the amount of time he doesn't have a title. I'd like to see Gunther maybe find a friend and take the tag titles just to be something different than a world title, because it's always a world title with him. If he's going to get a title, I'd rather it be that, or we can give him the United States title for a little while. Not 666 days, but a short run with the U.S. title, give him tactile so he can be a Grand Slam champion, and then call him a day.
Yeah, I think Gunther is, if he wasn't before, he has cemented in these last, I'm going to say 8 months to include the John Cena stuff, cemented his position at that top gatekeeper, always up there, kind of place that, you know, Brock Lesnar could always be. You can always put him in a championship match for a world title and you believe it. You can put him up against a newcomer and you really want the newcomer to win, and they might not, but they'll still look good in defeat. And he's got that final boss aura about him that I think a lot of people want. I think Obafemi's developing it and he's almost there, and I kind of wonder if those two do clash at some point. It feels like it'll be a big one if they do, but they're the two big final bosses to me. Even though Roman Reigns, you know, OTC, he's there, I got these two guys as my, like, hard-to-beat folks.
Yep. I will say one real quick thing before we're done. I think my champion of the first half of the year is Penta.
Yeah.
I think Penta has done amazing stuff with the Intercontinental title since he's won it. He had one of the ladder match that he had at WrestleMania was probably the second best match of the entire show. And you can argue maybe it was better than the main, than Cena Reigns in some ways, but it was incredible. And him continuing to be the champion going into the summer has been slightly surprising, but I'm for it, and it is a question of who can beat him. So far, nobody has been able to, and he defends it constantly.
Yeah, I agree. I think Penta has had a banger 6 months. Obviously, one of my partner's favorites, so I'm definitely biased. I think Trick Williams also has had a pretty good last 6 months, but Penta's up there, right? If you were to rank a top five people who had a great first 6 months, Penta's got to be up there. And the point is, you know, on the weekly shows, we're talking maybe he'll challenge for a world title soon. Like, that's how much his stock has risen in the WWE, and it's awesome to see. Alrighty, well, as you alluded to, we have run out of time, and it has been great talking to you.
Maybe.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingrndup, our Twitter page, twitter.com/wrestlingrndup, our YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestlingrndup, and we will catch you next week. Got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go. Strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go. Press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. We're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record. There's no one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.